Earth and Sky.
The brain is never silent. It's always working.
You're listening to neuroscientist Matt Wilson at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Wilson studies how memories are formed and expressed. In this podcast, Wilson talks about how he looks inside the brain of a rat in order to understand how humans learn and remember, and why he believes we will someday harness the power of the human mind. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
You study how rats create and recall memories as they're running through a maze. So how are you able to see inside the rat's brains, and what can you see?
So what we do is to take very fine electrodes, wires that are just a fraction of the diameter of a human hair, and we implant these wires into their brains, putting the tips of these electrodes next to collections of individual brain cells. When we put in a number of these wires, we can listen to many of these brain cells. And what we hear is the discharge, the output, what these cells are saying to other brain cells. And the end that we're listening to is a brain structure known as the hippocampus. This is a structure that we know is critical for forming and retrieving memories, both in rodents and in humans. And so we're listening in to activity of brain cells in the memory center of the brain.
And previously you had described these to me as kind of fundamental blocks of thought that you're able to measure in time, and how their minds edit these together to form memories or thoughts.
These memory patterns get re-expressed when animals are asleep, and we interpret those as being the basis for animal dreams, because they occur during dream states. And this would be the reactivation of these memories. And what we've recently found is that these reactivated memories also occur when animals are awake, but sitting quietly. So when memories are being formed, these patterns are changing over the timescale of seconds to minutes, you know, as long as it takes the animal to actually run through the maze. This is the timescale of our actual experience. But when these memories are being replayed in the sequence that they occurred when the animal was awake, but compressed in time, so that events that may have taken seconds to minutes to experience are replayed in a fraction of a second. So it's this very fast replay of these memory sequences.
So how might this correlate to the way that humans think? How similar are rat brains, or the rat hippocampus and the human hippocampus?
Well, one of the reasons that we use these rat models is that their brains are remarkably similar to human brains in their structure. In particular, this part of the brain, the hippocampus, is something that has been highly conserved over evolution. Because of that, we think that the activity that we see in the rodent brain is likely to be recapitulated in the human brain. Now, there have been some experiments. Of course, doing the experiments that we do is extremely difficult to do in humans for a variety of technical reasons and ethical reasons. But in some limited cases, there have been recordings made in the human hippocampus. And there are remarkable similarities that have been seen between the kind of activity that we see. These brief bursts of activity, for instance, are also seen in the human hippocampus.
And so what does your study add to what scientists have already learned about this region of the brain? What's new in terms of what you're studying?
Well, so we've known for a long time that this structure, the hippocampus, is critical for memory. I mean, we need it for memory. Now, how it contributes to memory, we don't know. Somewhat recent experiments looking at activity after the experience, at these phenomena that we refer to as memory replay events during sleep, for instance, tell us that the hippocampus continues to work on memory. It's not as though memories are just laid down on a videotape or stored in a filing cabinet and, you know, only accessed when you try to actively recall it. But when animals are sleeping or sitting, apparently doing what you might refer to as nothing, the hippocampus is very active, going back, retrieving and replaying these compressed memories. And so this gives us a different view of this memory structure and of memory in general.
And so do you think that we can eventually learn how to harness this power of the hippocampus? How can we apply it to helping people?
Well, I think that, the first step in trying to harness the power of anything, any device, any machine, any system, is to understand how it works. And I think what's been most striking about the research to this point is that we've been able to gain these insights to actually see the structure of memory, to see how it works. And the most obvious reason for doing this is to understand how to fix a system once it's broken. And when we look at models of memory disease and disorder, diseases and disorders of thought, for instance, in the case of schizophrenia or in the expression of disordered and disorganized thought in the form of psychosis, for instance, and if we understand how the system contributes and how it's broken, we can understand or at least attempt to understand how we might fix them. So ultimately, understanding how the system works gives us the ability to understand how to fix it when it's broken. Now, beyond that, we can also think about how we might want to optimize or improve working devices. And if we could understand how that went on, we could harness it in a unique way.
So I have just one more question, and that's, what's the most important thing that you'd like to tell listeners about your work?
I think the idea is that, you know, the brain is never silent. It's always working. And that these periods, these offline periods of sleep and quiet wakefulness, may be periods during which very important things related to learning, to memory and thought might be going on. And the challenge is to understand what that might be. The thing that gives me the greatest hope in being able to potentially answer these questions is the fact that we're now, in an era of, incredible discovery and opportunity, that it's a golden era in neuroscience.
You've been listening to Matt Wilson of the Peak Hour Institute for Learning and Memory at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.